Hey, everyone. Welcome to Tom's Tips Podcast, your place for obscure movie references, cat facts, and everything Mag Hub related. And now, your host, Mag Hub Product Manager, Tom Bellin.
Hello, Jugheads. It has been a while since we last talked to you, but this is Tom Bellin, and I am the product manager for Aisling, joined by Zach Gilbert, marketing consultant for Aisling. And this is, what is it, Tom's Tips Podcast? Is that what this is called?
It is.
So long, I forgot about it.
Yeah, man. Nearly 2 months.
Two months. And, you know, people were just, I mean, the emails, the fan mail, it was overwhelming. We had to bring it back.
Yep.
So, you know, we've been off for a bit. Obviously, summer's happened. Nobody works in the summer, including us. So we're deciding to do this. But one last time, you know, before really the biggest day of the year. Do you know what what's coming? Biggest day of the year?
I think I know what you're going to say it is, but I'm curious. Go ahead.
What do you think it is?
I think you're going to say it's your birthday.
Of course it's my birthday. Well, that is the biggest day of the year. Obviously, you're correct. July 6th, share the birthday with Sylvester Stallone and President Bush. You know, so we call each other. We talk about it. Big day. Also, some people think about it, you know, birth nation, all that. Independence Day weekend's coming up. So that's exciting. Mostly because you get days off. But with that said, long weekend coming up, Zach, how are you celebrating my birthday with this long weekend that the government's given you?
Yeah, so I'm going to go kayaking a little bit. My wife and I just got a new patio set, so we'll be playing some board games out on the patio, which is lovely. And then I'll probably smoke some meat.
Oh, you're smoking meat? You're copying me? Is that the case?
Sure. I
created smoking meat.
Yes.
So what meat are you smoking, and on what contraption, and with what type of ingredients? Like, what is the plan?
Sure. Okay. So I will be likely smoking pork butt. Mm-hmm. I'm a big pork guy, so I'll be doing that. I will be doing it on my pellet grill, and I used to have a wood, you know, the log grill, but our condo/apartment association does not allow that, but they did allow me to use pellets, so it's something better than nothing because they are pretty strict here, but I'm able to use that. And then I'm using I'm blanking on his name. He's the Texas guy,
Aaron Franklin.
Yep, I got his cookbook, so I'm doing his, so it's very, very minimal manifesto? But delicious.
What's that? The manifesto cookbook?
Yes.
Yep, I've had that for a while, so we'll probably be making the same recipe then, because I also am doing a pork butt 8-hour smoke, generally 250. But again, with him, it's all about, I mean, Texas barbecue is all about no barbecue sauce. They don't like barbecue sauce. You can make it. He makes it. But if you have to use it, it means that you screwed something up.
Yep.
And it's all salt and pepper. They do add a little bit of paprika for color, but not really for flavor. But usually, yeah, it's a 4-hour smoke, and then wrap in foil, and then about another 4 hours. So, yeah, I've done that recipe many, many times. Loved Aaron Franklin. I was going to do brisket this weekend, but I just – timing with kids and everything, I just don't have it. But pork butt's great, and I'm going to do a couple brine chickens. You ever smoked chicken?
I have not smoked chicken. We used to do beer can chicken when I was on the fire department.
Gross. So.
Oh, it's not gross. Calm down.
No, it's fine, actually. But actually, the better way is you got to brine it. If you're not brining your chicken before you smoke it, you're making a huge mistake, in my opinion.
Okay.
So, there's so many different recipes for it. It's not crazy. But usually it's brown sugar, water, you know, some salt, and you just brine it overnight. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference. You can add other spices. Generally, you jam some lemons and thyme and onion in there. It doesn't really matter what it is, but a brine the night before and then smoking chicken is the key.
Great tip.
And plus the amazing thing, I always find this crazy with smoking meat. I mean, it makes sense if you get in the chemicals and all that, but let's ignore logic for a while.
Sure.
Is, you know, chicken is the meat that you have to be, in poultry, is you have to be most careful in terms of making sure you don't eat raw.
Mm-hmm.
But takes the far less time than doing, you know, pork. So when you smoke something, it takes far less to do chicken than it does meat. But if you kick it in another way, like on the grill, skillet, whatever, it takes less time to do beef than, you know, poultry.
Interesting.
What's that?
That's
but
interesting.
Part of that is because of with brisket, it's a tougher meat. So it's about breaking things down. So it takes more time to break that down, whereas chicken or poultry is a leaner meat, and you're not really breaking it down as much. You're just cooking it through.
Wow. That's a great lesson.
You got in my wheelhouse. It's one of the few things I do well is smoking meat. So I got into it, and I got into it before kids, but now with kids, I am afraid because I'm going to, you know, burn the house down, burn down Manchester by the Sea. Don't watch it if you haven't watched it, but spoiler alert. So that turned depressing. So kayaking, do you have a one-person kayak, two-person kayak? Do you race against your wife, Emily?
So we have all one-person kayaks. We have three of them. So that way when my daughter comes, she can kayak. We actually have a fourth one that we're loaning out. But they are all one-person kayaks because I'd probably tip people over, just be that guy. We don't really race as much. My kayak is quite a bit longer than my wife's, so that does actually increase speed.
Humble brag.
It is. It's when you have a longer kayak, it goes faster. I'm just saying. So we do not race. We just, you know, cruise the lake in style.
Cruise the lake in style.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I used to kayak. Birthday thought. Though my kayaking story is I used to go up to Grayling, Michigan, which you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
You're an Uper, whatever. There's an army base there. So my dad was in the military. And so we got the privilege of staying there over the summers for like a week or 2 weeks in like little cottages they have up there in the army base.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rent out kayaks and they would tell you very specific rules, keep it on the outside of the lake. And, you know, what we called was an island, quote unquote, which basically is sandy beach on the other side of the lake. Mm-hmm. One night, well, it was my birthday because I wanted to do that. I wanted to go across at night. You can see where this is going, foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
To the beach, to the island, as we called it, which normally would be okay, but we were breaking the rules. But another group of people was also breaking the rules. They were doing speedboat racing at night.
Oof.
Across the lake. So that was a bit of a scary moment for my mom. She saw that going on. But spoiler alert, I survived. You're right. We also sank a paddle boat, I think, that summer at the bottom. Like, it sprung a leak and it just went to the bottom. I don't ever know what happened with that paddle boat. So if anyone knows, if anyone's listening and remembers what happened to a paddle boat that sank to the bottom of a lake in Grayling about the year, I'm going to say 1996, call in. Let us know, because I don't know what happened to that paddle boat. But you know what I do know?
What?
The last few releases have been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might be taking 2 months off. My transitions are still very, very good. So I guess people listen to this talk about the MagHub releases. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I know it's been a while, so some of this might be rehash or not. But, you know, one of the big things that we did finally release after about 85 years of messaging, I think we, you know, with our software's storyline, which, you know, took about as long to release Dark Mode as it did for George Lucas to release his terrible prequel to the original trilogy. But we did release it. So there is Dark Mode in there. And I know that a fair amount of people use it. I know our developers use it all the time because then whenever they do screen shares with me, it's in dark mode. So that went out finally. So that's exciting. I definitely use it at night and other times and you know, kind of different modes. I'm always in testing though. So depending on what screen you're watching, it's always a different thing to try and break something in the system. So that's exciting. What we've also done a lot with, not again, it's in technical items, but over the last few releases and coming up now is a lot more in terms of people management. I'll say, resource management, but at the end of the day, these are people, capital, human capital. Maybe that's worse. I don't know if it's better called person, human capital, or resource. But in terms of the way that you track time on the item so that you can see how long it takes time and someone to do a ticket or a task, knowing who's available for those items, whether that's because we've updated our resource allocation reports to be easier to read. One thing that we're also updating and continue to do that I'm excited about for this upcoming release is being able to, when you actually want to add someone to a task in a project, you don't have to add them to the project first. You can actually assign them right from the task. And not only that, but you can see what time they have available or not. So it's a bit of the resource allocation adding. So UX and information in the same spot. I think it's really cool. We're taking PTO more into account. So if you take advantage of our PTO system, so just people putting those requests, you can know when they're available or not. Excited about that. So we continue to expand some of the project stuff and being able to do that, you know, people management. Well, we've also done a good amount with our, again, just upping our digital media items. We know it's been a transition for people moving from old way to new way. They see the benefits, but there's also a bit of hesitancy on where they want to move. So we are really trying to beef up that area, knowing that is kind of how we see the future of the product and leading people towards that, whether it's by creating additional tags in our templates to better communicate to customers, like the ad specs or some of the material due dates in those. Or again, it's been updates to the slot media report for different views. We're also going to be creating a more consolidated production report in the near future, so you can go one spot to find everything for your digital media. So that's been a big thing for us as well as some improvements to how our game integration works. We're hoping to get to this release, giving you more control about what goes over to Google Ad Manager. Maybe you know it as DFP, maybe you know it as a double click, but you know, Google apparently is a big company. I didn't realize that. It's a lot of power. Found out about them recently. So, you know, how that moves over there for that. So a lot of different things than that field we've updated. Other areas of the site that, again, we actually have a committee on this, and we're looking to create new committees in the future, subscriptions. Since we started that, we've made some, I think, pretty nice changes to make the subscription area system better. We've had more control over some of the email templates, turning on or off templates that you don't want to go to the customer. Recently introduced a page that actually, you know, a lot of subscribers, it's print, or they don't have an email on file and you just have some, you know, random email in the system just so they can be in our system, because we do require email. We know sometimes mm-hmm. people don't like that, but for data, we do require it. But now if someone is to renew an email versus our one-click renewal or the renewal code, we present them with a simple page that says, this is what we know about you, and this is your information, update it or don't. And they can do that. And if they want or require to, they can provide an email right there, change it. So not only allows it to your customer to give you new information to help communicate with them, but also if the information is wrong, they can correct it. And they don't have to log in, but they can simply go right in there. So that's something came from the committee. We have some other things that we want to do in the subscription area, make it more like the other parts of the system again. So you, when you go to a page, you know what to expect, trying to make sure things behave the same way, one spot or another. So that's been fun. And we continue to do that with our UX team and doing something there. And we've also made some different things with the automation module. We've updated the ticket automation. So one cool thing, just if you haven't seen already, but you know, if you're trying to push more people to the client center, you can set up automations where if the customer uploads or makes an adjustment to a ticket in client center, you can either notify the ticket rep, who owns the ticket, the order rep, or just send it to a generic email. You can send emails out to people from the ticket automation. So that's always a trick with our customers, is I feel like sales reps are either production people, just salespeople, or billing people. So we're trying to make the automation flexible depending on how you like to run your business, because we know that it's not one size fits all. We're also adding something here that I know Zach has been a big proponent of, this upcoming release, which is when you actually look in automation, instead of just viewing random IDs and where things go, you can actually see who did it. So if you are using automation, it will provide you more clarity on who's gone through the workflow and what they did. So better reporting on that. So automation was always more very technical as a process, you know, set up the workflow and it does what it does, but now you can actually get more insight into it. With that, we've included project templating. So if you want to say, hey, we always run the same types of projects and we're tired of cloning it and recreating the same thing, you can now template projects with our Gantt chart functionality and dependency functionality. So that's cool. And yeah, I think probably in this upcoming release, what I'm most excited about has been, you know, a lot of these items we've been working very close with customers, figuring out what they want and building things kind of specifically for them that takes into account, you know, some of their, they come to us, they want something right now. So it's a mix of us building it with them, you know, paying a little bit along the way to move it up the chain. But we are doing something that I think will be really helpful for anyone running advertisements soon, but is being able to send artwork reminders directly from a ticket, individualizing it with an email note, and actually linking for the first time, the first time, to our artwork area without having to log in. We know that it's always been a trouble for customers to have to log in to a portal. Nobody remembers their login. Nobody remembers that their password is just their cat's name. It's always your cat's name. But now they can actually click on a link, see a previous ad that they've run, and just go right into that gallery area if you're taking advantage of it and say, I want to run this ad again without having to log in. So you can just send an email specifically, hey, do you really want to rerun this ad? Type that in the note, either attach it or say, do you want to rerun one of your previous ads? Send the email, they'll go to a page and they can just pick it up right from there. No login, no anything, no Mr. Jingles 2019 or whatever it is. So yeah, so a lot of cool things have been going on. And some of the things that we're excited to that we're hoping to get to in your future is more consolidation reporting. So you just know, like, I go here, I do my thing, that's it, instead of, you know, going to the 75 different derivatives of a report. So we're excited about all that. And I know, like, Zach, I don't know if you've been following closely, but in all my ramblings, is there anything in particular in there that you were like, oh, baby, that yeah. is that is lovely.
I have been stalking your guys' product development cycle. I will say, I am excited for the subscription changes. I know a lot of those things have been requested, and it is a really cool functionality. Obviously, I'm excited for dark mode because the story is complete, and it was a long time coming. And props for the George Lucas burn. That's real relevant in today's date. And also, big fan of automation insights and analytics. You know, being able to actually dive deep is a very helpful functionality to see it happen that way. Yeah, so I would say those are probably my top three highlights right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the automation stuff. I think sometimes it can be harder to understand or grasp because it does present possibilities, and that's how my mind works. But like with the ticket workflow automation, I do think that as your company grows or you have very specific teams who respond to this thing or that, being able to trigger different actions based on who did something to a particular ticket and send it to particular. So for example, like if you have multiple publications, multiple brands, or you have a print team, digital team, which I find you can create workflows for the digital team on this brand and a workflow for print teams on this brand to keep people in the loop. And I know one big thing too, that we're looking on that we're excited about with the visuals and that is, people play with our project side and the Gantt chart view. We are kind of leveraging another tool to help us with those. And I know Kanban is a big thing, and a lot of people love that. Whether, you know, you think Kanban, you think about Trello. Basically, you think about the little, you know, little board of stuff on there. That's another visual thing that we think can help a lot with production teams of grouping things by status, or a sales team grouping things by percentage. Some of the things that we're hoping to do in the next few releases is really not as much recreate or build new things like an automation module, but take the ones we had and refine it and improve the look and feel of it. So excited over the next few months, especially with the forum also coming. So yeah, that's cool things. But I don't know. So I saw something the other day.
Oh boy.
I'm done with the release stuff. Let's get into movies and cats. That's why people come. The people probably fast forward. We should have a thing on this on the podcast where you can say skip MacUp stuff, because that's probably what people want to do and jump right to this. I think I saw that with some other types of, you know, Netflix specials. If you want to skip certain parts of it and you just skip right over. So we should add that feature. So slip that in.
Got it.
All right. So I saw something the other day about F9. Do you know what F9 is, Zach?
Treat. Fast and Furious 9?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like it did really well in the box office. Did you go see it?
No.
Now, you say that in a sense of no, because you hate the Fast and the Furious series.
No, I do not hate the Fast. There are two problems I'm having with the Fast and Furious franchise. One, they brought Han back, and I'm sorry. Tokyo Drift was a phenomenal movie.
So, wait. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Spoiler alert, if you've not seen Tokyo Drift yet, it's been about a decade now, so I feel like I can probably spoil some stuff now.
You can spoil whatever you want. I give people a 2-week warning, and then spoilers don't count.
Well, Han dies, and
yep.
Tokyo Drift. Yeah, this is after all those events, and yet he's here now. So, once again, they're bringing people back from the dead, and I think Han died in a very victorious way, in a very, you know, a very cool Han way. And then the last thing before we switch out, I know you're going to have some comments on this. There's a lot of rumors that they're going to combine the Fast and Furious trilogy with Jurassic Park because they're owned by the same properties and they're going to try to do like a crossover event. And if that happens, I'm going to go crazy in a bad way.
So, all right, I don't care about Jurassic Park. That's weird because, okay, of the Fast and Furious movies, I'm not a huge fan. I have seen Tokyo Drift probably actually more times than like, so I've seen that movie more than I've seen any other Fast and Furious combined. And it's weird because it's with, I think it's with Chris Black is his name.
Yep.
And the Han character, because I always thought like Han was supposed to have been in that and then it was in the past of the thing. So they brought him back into the space one?
Exactly.
No sense.
That's the exact thing. So it's Lucas Black, not Chris Black. But anyway, Lucas Black.
Something Black. Yep. Sorry. But yes.
So they started doing like the teasers after Tokyo Drift when they're like, oh, here's Han. They're like, oh my gosh, they brought him back. And it's like, oh, nope, it's a prequel. We got you. We got you. And it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then this one's set afterwards and he's in the teasers again. And they're all saying like, oh, he's back actually alive. And it's like, okay. And then there's like rumors that he's like a cyborg. So I haven't seen it yet, but it's like Fast Furious, you need to calm down. You know, you guys were stealing VCRs in the first movie. Like, you're going too crazy now.
I think, you know, as Fonzie, where this originally came from, you know, jumped the shark many, many, many movies ago.
Yeah.
But I always thought Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift was interesting because I actually liked that movie.
Yes.
Black, who was in a good, and I thought it was probably one of the better, one of the movies. But the fact that, like, I always liked Lucas Black because he was in the movie before with Kevin Costner. Young actor, very good. If you ever seen that, more emotional, but like it had nothing to do with the other ones, and now like they kind of wrote it off, but now they're trying to bring it back at the ninth. It makes no sense. Anyway, I didn't really want to talk about Fast and the Furious. That's another fun part. I was thinking more about movies and going back to the movies. But one of the things I'm not ready to go back to the movies quite yet. I'm waiting on that perfect film to go to. I don't know if you have your eye on one. I know we talked about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is one for me, but do you have a movie to go back to?
I haven't really been following too many. I mean, Disney Plus has been, you know, allowing you to purchase them has been fantastic. Like purchasing Cruella was a great choice. It was one of my favorite movies this summer. It was a remarkable movie. It was way better than I ever thought it was going to be, and I'm a big Emma fan. And there are other movies like, you know, Black Widow I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to going back to theaters. It's what I really want to do. But the convenience factor of that is just like, oh, and then not only that, you know, it purchases it. So if you have, just a little side note, if you have a Disney Plus account and you have multiple users all across the state or something, like, you know, my daughter has one and she lives in UP and my in-laws have them, so like that. And that's totally allowed. Disney allows it. That's why they don't do any of that type of IP stocking. It's really nice of them to do that. But also the really nice thing is if you purchase Cruella or something along those lines, it unlocks it for all of those accounts. So like my daughter can watch it. My in-laws can watch it. So everybody gets it. So everyone's like, oh, it's $28. It's super expensive. It's not a rental. So it unlocks it early permanently. It will be eventually added on there, you know, in time, but you get to access it until then. So there's no viewing window. And then it unlocks it for all accounts that's on your account. It's a pretty sweet deal. It does not replace the theater, but no.
So on that Cruella thing, a couple things. One is my son's, again, because I'm not a great parent, is is we have watched Luca a few times, which is also really good. I very much like Luca. And not to get too crazy, but it is totally what the fans think it is. We can break that down later. I don't care what the directors say. But Cruella, is that, you know, I haven't gotten it. I don't have that level. But I don't really know, I mean, if it is a kid's movie. It looks like it's not trying to be, but it's also Disney. So on a scale, you know, what age do you think someone should watch Cruella and not be scarred?
Ooh, that's a good one. They do a pretty good job balancing stuff out. I'm trying to think if anything jumps out. I was like, whoa, that's
because it isn't eventually about a woman who wants to skin a bunch of dogs. Let's just get real here. Who wants to kill puppies?
So I will say there is no puppy killing in the movie at all. Not one bit. There's a love towards dogs through the entire movie. And it's a very unique. I'm not a big fan of Disney live action movies. They're not really my favorite because it's just retelling of another story. And then I will also say the worst part I had with Disney live action movies is they don't use real animals for anything. They're all CGI. And even like the puppies in Cruella are total CGI. And like they're doing like normal dog stuff. There's something that it could be trained, but it's all pure CGI. It's like you guys aren't even trying to try to bring a real animal into this. It's just like, nah, 3D effects. And it's like, ah. So I think. I don't know. I'm bad at this judgment of thing, but I would say, you know, 7 or 8 or older, I think would be fine.
That's fine. It's one of those things like 101 Dalmatian. You think of it as like a Disney film for kids, but then when you really break it down, it's like, it is about a woman who wants to kill and skin puppies. Not the best, but here's one factoid before I get into somebody else's movies. So, you know, my wife, Margaret Fink. I mean, what do you think of her as far as, like, you know, a person before I make this next comment? Not to get too crazy.
That is a terrible question to ask somebody. Like, what do you think of my significant other?
Right, so this is what I say, because usually people might say she's the nicest, very sweet woman and all that stuff.
Okay. Okay. I will play along with this, actually, though. I will give you my input on what I think of Maggie. I'm not going to call her Margaret. Million times out of your league in every way, shape, or form.
Hey, that only makes me look better, by the way.
It does make you look better, but it makes me worried about her sometimes.
Yeah, no, she has some judgment issues. True. The point being is, like, she likes everybody, all this stuff. She does not like Emma Stone. So hopefully she's not a fan of the podcast. She hates Emma Stone. It's very bizarre. She has like a thing on some actors where she just does not like them. So I will have to watch Cruella either with you or by myself. One of the movies I watched by myself, because we're never going to theaters, but my friends and I have started COVID things. We tried to do a book club. We were on a trivia thing for a while, but that stopped. Is we've created a movie club.
Mm.
And so what it is my friend wanted to start this because he has a goal to watch like all like the best picture nominees since like 1942, best actors, like every one of the movie. He has a list going. So he wanted to create a movie club where we watch a movie and then we talk about that movie and people get to rotate, we pick. So, you know, and trying to do it something that people can watch relatively easy. So we started with a classic, one of the best films of all time. I think we can all agree, you know, National Treasure, fantastic film.
I love that movie, and my wife still has not seen it, and I will make her see it. I love that movie.
It is an amazing movie. There is nothing wrong with it. You cannot leave them watching that movie without pure just being like, this is great. Then we had a friend, so then we do a random vote generator, and who gets to pick the next movie? The next person picked, actually, shockingly, and it's kind of messed up with the Star Wars, what was it, the first Star Wars of the newest trilogy, blanking on it right now. Force Away. And I was like, yep. What? Shock the world, right? And I'd already seen it. But the problem is you can't really talk about that. We'll talk about the other parts, so I spoiled everything. So I am up this week. I'm up this week. And I picked a film that I don't know if anyone's ever seen, but I've heard really about, and I'm a Nicolas Cage man. I love Nicolas Cage. I mean, he is the poor man's Keanu Reeves, like, you know, in that case. So I picked the movie. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And it's actually been ranked by many people when it came out as one of the top 10 movies of the year. And it looks terrible. And I've half watched half of it. And my God, this movie is a gem in many ways. is Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not. I have seen like a documentary. I saw him like breaking down his roles and him talking briefly about that train wreck of a movie.
Well, you can call it a train wreck of a movie, and in it, he becomes a train wreck. But like that movie again, like Roger Ebert, top 10 film. Top, like a lot of people think this is one of the best films of the year that came out. This is in 2009.
Yeah.
And I started watching it, and it's experience. I recommend it. So with my movie trivia question for this is not necessarily about this movie. And what you'll be amazed if you watch this is there are some actors in there you'll be like, you're in this movie? For example, I don't know if this was Michael Shannon's first role, but he makes a very small appearance in this film. And I'm like, what? So that's crazy. But there was controversy with this movie because a lot of people thought it was a sequel. There was a movie, Bad Lieutenant, in 1992. And my trivia question is, who was the original Bad Lieutenant? What actor played the original Bad Lieutenant that was later viewed this film as being a, you know, travesty because it was a sequel, of course. And I'll give one hint to it. This person also was very famous for playing a role where he was titled as Mr. White. It's Mr. But yeah, so that's the trivia question. Who was the original Bad Lieutenant who also played a role where he was titled Mr. White in a far more famous film than these two? I will say that as well. But yeah, I don't have too much else to say. And I will say this, my cat trivia thing, because this is happening right outside my door of meowing. I've locked myself away. And I might have said this before, but it is a very interesting cat fact, is when your cat meows at you, just know that they are messing with you, because the cat's meow was not developed for cats. It was developed to trigger humans. It was developed based on the cry of a baby. Cats do not communicate with meows in any other world besides the domesticated human world. They know what they're doing. They're evil, and they're here to destroy your life. So the cat's meow, when you hear a meow, like, oh, it's cute, they don't do that. In the wild, they don't do it to destroy us. It is a fact, cat fact.
Interesting.
And on that, yeah, no, it's true. It mimics the baby's cry. Like they have infiltrated us. But cats do not meow in the wild. So, besides that, anything else you want to say, Zach? I mean, about this upcoming of things, you know, things you should want to plug something.
So I'll plug two things. First of all, MagHub is having their feature-focused webinar, MagHub HubSpot Publishers Panel. It is on Tuesday, July 13th at 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So it's a publisher panel. You get to hear from HubSpot directly because we are a partner program. You get to hear from MagHub. And you also get to hear some clients that are actually utilizing HubSpot as well as the integration itself. So I definitely recommend attending that. If you follow any of our social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook, there are going to be posts on there so you can sign up. It is going to be hosted through GoToWebinar. If you cannot attend Tuesday, July 13th, you can still sign up for it and you will get a recording 24 hours after it ends. So I'd highly recommend. There is a great Q&A session. So if you've ever been interested in wanting to use HubSpot for your publishing company, there will be some great panelists there. A lot of our clients are making that switch. So I'd highly recommend attending that webinar. And the very last thing, of course, and Tom mentioned this earlier, the MagHub Fall Forum is September 20th through the 22nd. It is going to be held in Chicago. It'll be a great way to kind of get back out there and, you know, meet each other safely, obviously. It will be held at a Lowe's right near O'Hare Airport. So it does have free transportation from the airport to there. So you don't have to worry about rental cars or parking or anything like that. And it's actually in a really nice area. There's a mall right across the road. There's a Caddyshack themed restaurant right next door. It's owned by
Bill Murray,
his brother.
Bob Murray.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So
was that actually a name? I just threw a name out there.
I don't think it's Bob Murray. No, it's not Bob Murray. But yeah, so it's owned there. Nick Patero and I have eaten there. It's a really cool place. But anyway, enough about the food. It is $150 per ticket. You can buy them online using our event management module at maghub.com. You can just go into the resources tab and type on MAGHUB Fall Forum. That is there. The agenda is available. And yeah, it's going to be a really great time. You will get to go to Wrigley to a private suite. So that'll be a once in a lifetime opportunity. And yeah, I think those are my two plugs for MAGHUB.
You know, one thing too about this forum is it's been a little time. You know, Tom's feature freakout, which some people have raved as the greatest event of their lives. It's me, by the way. I raved about that. Yeah. I got some special things planned for this one. I'm gonna go all out. I got some new games, some crazy things. So if anyone's experienced that and didn't mind it, it'll get better. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, probably people hate the Peach Freakout, but I like it, and I got some new exciting things to do for that one. So get ready.
I mean. Stuff comes from the feature freakout, though, so I think people might not always like the format. I get that, but stuff happens from this. I mean, a lot of features that end up in MAGHUB following the Fall Forum are from the Fall Forum. So if you want something in the system,
I don't forget the ones, and we fight. There's actually one in there that I can't plug as being in this upcoming release, which was the number one requested one that I've been fighting for a while. It may be in this release, but if not, it'll be in the release after. Came directly from the Fall Forum when we did a vote. We basically did a vote system. You know, you had a certain number of dollars and you voted on it, which is a typical product manager feature, but I got some fun ideas. So try and keep it light, try and keep it fun, meet with other people, talk about it. And again, you know, we learn a lot from it. And as Zach said, like, you know, we listen to all customer communication. I read all feature requests. So, you know, if you ever have something, say it. You know, if you're silent, we don't know. So just, you know, yell at me, say, Tom, you're an idiot. You should add this. I won't be offended. Let me know.
That's great. So
maybe we should make a Tom's Fika rant. People can go to the microphone and just rant at me for like 10 minutes. I'm fine with that.
It's your event, Tom. You do whatever you want for the future podcast or for your thing. Yeah,
that's fine. We can do that. We can do a rant booth. Maybe we should do that. But this booth, go in there and just rant and record it, and we'll listen to it. I will listen to it with joy in my heart. But all right, with all that, I think that is the wrap up of Tom's Tips Podcast Birthday Edition. So. Thank you all for listening. If you made it this far, if not, well, you're lost.